Good morning. Welcome to the monthly security meeting, May 4th. Call to order. I'll open it up with comments from the public if we have any. Otherwise, Kelly, I'll go to you.
Okay.
And I do have items to discuss, but I'll grab those at the end.
So, okay, great.
It's to you.
All right, great. We'll start with our operation update. Currently, we have 8 full-time gate officers and 2 part-time gate officers working for CSD. In patrol, we have currently 3 patrol officers. Vacant, we still have the 3 positions. Of our patrol shifts, we had 90 shifts this last month, and 34 were not able to be covered. This is to the ongoing hiring freeze and no overtime for patrol. Our vehicle, Toyota truck, again, is in process. There were supply-demand issues. It was sold underneath us. He promised me it won't happen again. And
so that 2023, when we get in 27, will right. have low mileage.
Right, perfect. Right. Everything's
yeah.
good. Our vest fittings, they were still waiting. They were completed, and we're still waiting for the arrival of those vests.
Okay.
Moving on to Rancho Murrieta Association activities. I met with the new general manager, with our general manager. We had a general manager meeting, and we discussed some security concerns. And I attended yesterday the compliance meeting with him. One of the things they were looking to do is to redefine or add to the noxious activity section, and I gave him our opinion. I showed him some videos of noxious activity that we had on our body-worn camera to kind of give him an idea.
I am aware of that.
Oh, you were? So I think that gave him a good
yep.
insight to some of the things that we deal with. and that was yesterday. We spoke with Chris and the committee meeting yesterday about the South Beach incident. I think they had several teenagers, how should I put this? It was Senior Ditch Day, and mm-hmm. they decided to party, if you will, down at the South Beach, and they went over fences, they double parked, they were hitting fences. I received a call, and I basically said to one of the directors who called from Rancho Murrieta that, you know, the sheriffs need to be sent down there, even if they'll take an hour and a half. So we waited an hour and a half for them. And we sent the sheriffs down there. We sent the compliance company officers were there, and our security staff was there. And we advised them that underage drinking was attending
right.
there. We wanted them to go down there and clear it out. They did not wish to go down there and investigate that part. They said they would stay up top and just basically shoo them all away. And they did. And so, but again, the damage was done. There was lots of trash left down there and
right.
Drinking, and it's an ongoing problem. And that's kind of, I think, what sparked the noxious activity reform that they're starting to write. But they seem to don't have a problem with people going down to the river and having a good time, but it's all the other activities with it, the hopping the fences, the taking the vehicles and causing accidents, the loud boxes of behavior. These kids have in the past have been drunk, and they've had to call a fire department out, so it just kind of gets out of hand, like a large
right.
party. And so they're trying to address it with the limited resources we have. So that's what
okay.
occurred yesterday. let's see. Our LIDAR training for personnel. During the last meeting, it was brought up that the question is whether or not we should continue our speed enforcement, our stop sign violation enforcement dogs with currently with because our agreement with RMA is not updated, and basically it indicated that there was a gentleman's agreement between the last 20 years of how we do business here, and I can argue maybe that's so, but if you look at the first line in the association in the agreement, it says CSD provides routine security services to the community for public safety, and I think that first line could argue why we do speeding enforcement, traffic enforcement, and dog enforcement. It's for public safety. So whether or not it's considered a gentleman's agreement or you take this first line, it kind of goes. But I think it goes for community service, and we're here to help in any way possible. And I said last time, if the board directs us not to do it, we'll stop immediately. But if they don't, then those are the kind of roles that we take. It's the big four, the speeding, the stop signs, the dogs, and the boat permits. Those are the areas we're only into. So if there's no objection to that, we're going to continue until otherwise told.
Well, you brought it up, so I will continue it. Amelia, on the agenda for May 17th, would you put an agendized item for CSD, RMA, formalizing the process for security? I have spoken with the RMA board president and other board members specifically. I'll just say it straight out. I am not aware of a gentleman's agreement or a wink or nod specifically dealing with security and or dealing with any other organization that CSD deals with. So I will work back those comments. As far as the agreement is outdated, the board inherited whatever leftover boards did. So I'll leave that at that. We have not started the formalized process. I've not given the interim GM any direction, specifically because since 2018, we've been trying to figure out property tax supplement to Measure J. We understood that it was not going to continue. We attempted Measure R. Community spoke. I can go to the exact fact finding that the grand jury identified that we are not to use property tax. So now that all of the mist in the air is clear, now we can start the formalized process of what does security look like. In lieu of that, a document came to my attention dating back to 1985. It's out to legal counsel for an opinion, and that is the authorization that was given under Measure A to the community service district to enforce CCNRs for all HOAs.
Or the ability to.
The ability. And I believe it's a may, not a shall. But it doesn't describe the how to. So with all those things, that's the reason why we have not moved forward, and nothing compelled me in 20 years, since the document is 23 years old, to move in the last couple out of that. So what you're doing is correct. Thank you. I will work with the GM to get a letter to RMA to ask that we start the formalized process of security, because at the end of the day, we now know our funding level, we know our staffing level. RMA, if they need to put together an ad hoc committee, a finance committee, whether it works through compliance, I just need to be able to give them the resources, whether it's the general manager, whether it's supervisor of security, myself, to assist them on what's that level of service to RMA. Once that process is completed, then we simply go to the other HOAs and state, here's our funding levels, here's where it's at, here's what are your priorities out of the services we can provide. So long story short, if there's a misperception either in the community or board members, I have not wanted to try and start any formalized process when so many things were in the hopper, so to speak. So that's kind of where that's at.
Correct.
So I'll work back with staff to get a letter to RMA to start the formalization of the process, and then we can start going from there on just, we now know what staffing is going to look like in the future. Now what's that customer service level? Sorry, Kelly, continue on.
No problem. And going on to community crime concerns, I understand the sheriff spoke to a group at the hotel, over here at the Bel Air Hotel. I read that in the paper, and The next couple days, there were some deputies at my door, and they said, hey, and the sheriff wants us out here a little bit more. And so they were the two young deputies, and they wanted to know what kind of services that we were looking for, what kind of quality of life crimes we were having, what were our issues, where should they be deployed. And as you see this morning, there's two in the parking lot as well, inquiring in those kind of issues. And I said, you're welcome here 24/7 at our safety center. If you were to take your lunch breaks here, if you were to come out here and book your evidence, write your reports, that's a big win for us.
Are they assigned to this beat?
These ones here, yes. But they informed me there's a new shift bidding process coming, and they don't know how long they're going to be there. They're all in the middle of that. So, but they wanted to know, learn about us, and understand. These younger officers wanted to know what we're out here. But again, they say the same things. We go where our call load is.
Oh yeah.
And they'll come out here. They said they came out here last week, and they were driving around, and they immediately got a call in Wilton. They had to go out there. So they said there's that challenge of where their calls are and coming out here.
Understand? Yes.
I'm really curious that. You know, I was at that hotel meeting with the sheriffs and that kind of stuff there. So I'd like to know what information we're giving the sheriffs to patrol. Just sitting here and eating lunch in the parking lot is not deterrence of any crime whatsoever, unless there's a crime going on in the parking lot.
You haven't seen our lunchroom incidents, have you?
Yes, it is. I have. Okay. So I'd like to hear what we're recommending to the sheriff, because we're definitely going to have a follow-up meeting with them. And I'm on a sheriff's commission that oversees the sheriff's stuff for the county. So I'm very, very curious of what Kelly, what you're recommending that they do.
Okay.
There should be, in my opinion, a scope of work for them. Maybe we'd like you to tour the beaches, or you know, make a passageway, and you know, whatever.
Yeah, I can go into detail a little bit like that. Yeah.
I think the answer to your question is yes, Mike.
Okay.
I think, and you can rattle it off the top of your head if you want, but I think. Offline, the two of you connect, and we get a just so we don't miss something and we don't duplicate something, because one of my questions to Kelly was, with the transition and continuity of command with the sheriff, you had a contact in operations that you could call. Do we still have, whether it's that person or not, just I need the cell phone number, right? Whoever answers it, I got a human.
Right.
So I think, Mike, what we do is we leverage your access on the commission to what the thought process is from Kelly. I'm entering the formal process, and again, I'm just picking on RMA because they're the largest customer we have in security, and maybe have those quick discussions, get that scope of work, and more importantly, the time of day of the scope of work, right? And maybe then it's unified moving forward, if that makes sense.
There's four areas of, in the past, there's four areas. You got the river,
right?
You've got the commercial property, you got the golf course where they have a lot of vandalism. And then you've got the parks, especially from June to October when school is getting ready to close and all the, there's a lot more activities in the community and a lot longer hours. Those are the four areas where you get the most data that's going on, you know, that kind of stuff there. So I'd love to see that. I'd sit down with anybody to...
Yeah, we will facilitate that. Because, again, I think if we can leverage in a positive way your input on the commission... And then we formalize from our perspective, not so much wants but needs, and then more importantly, the time of day of those, or time of night, those needs. So I think we can combine all that. So yes, Mike, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kelly, thank you.
Okay, so met with them, us talked about mental health call, and I'll address that in the notes so we can go to the next slide. Entries, not a lot. If there's any questions here, not a lot of different entries. We're seeing a little bit more traffic because the summer months are here now.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, this is a popular slide.
Okay, I can go to the notes. And I pick these notes. I always try to pick a category to highlight the different areas. I think last month I spoke a lot on the village. Then I'll focus on behind the gates. This month I'm going to focus on a couple incidents that happened in our shopping centers.
Okay.
On Saturday, April 22nd, 2023, at approximately 35 hours, CSC Patrol was dispatched to the Town and Country Real Estate Office. The reporting party stated that he terminated a salesperson and he became angry, began to yell, and used profanity at the employees. The employee demanded to know the reason behind his termination and refused to leave the location. Upon CSD arrival, the suspect had already departed the location. At 14:35 hours, about an hour later, the suspect returned and attempted to get back inside the building. However, the building was locked. CSD again was dispatched, and upon our arrival, the suspect was gone. The Sheriff's Department was not notified, and there was no other incidents at the Town and Country office. And I put that to show that our... The average response for a sheriff could be an hour for that type of call, mm-hmm. and they immediately called us. We went right out there, and it made everybody feel safe. And it was, I put this in to show we do go to the businesses, and that we do provide this kind of service. And I wanted to highlight that a little bit with that one. We had another incident, too, on 4/26/23 at approximately 1,400 hours. CSD Security received a welfare check request from the VA hospital. The doctor at the hospital stated that she was informed by one of her patients that a welfare check should be conducted on an employee that worked in the Rancho Murrieta shopping center. The doctor was concerned that the employee might want to harm himself and others. CSD immediately investigated and contacted the manager of the retail establishment. The sheriff's department was contacted and responded and completed the investigation. There was no immediate threats to the Rancho Murrieta community. And that's what the deputies were here today doing a follow-up with that. I can say that the sheriffs went out to this young man and they determined that it was no immediate threat to himself or any other citizen in Rancho Murrieta. This is possibly a disgruntled employee versus employee situation with some mental health issues. And that retail establishment has their full force of their HR, the legal department, and their... management addressing that issue, and the sheriff is also taking investigative and follow-up actions as well as they really came here today. So
two things. Mm-hmm. Thank you. More importantly, how you just described it by redacting the information. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Very professional.
Thank you.
Okay, continue on.
Yeah, and I just brought up those two instances to show these are the kind of calls we get that are outside the gate, and this kind of response is very special when you have to do the research, find out who these people are, and connect with the sheriff and do the follow-up, that we don't just do the run-of-the-mill security kind of stuff. We do sometimes that in-between gray area type of work, and I wanted to highlight this time that our officers do a very good job.
Well, couple of things, Kelly. One, historically, since I've been on the board, until a security supervisor named Tina Telemontes got here, and now continued by yourself, we did not have the KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities, or the capacity to do and describe what you just described.
Understood.
So for that, thank you. That again just earmarks really the position the district's in, because community doesn't want to adequately staff security. I get it, they've spoken, we're moving on, but the professionalism you bring is duly noted.
Thank you.
Continue on.
And that's all I had, unless there's another agenda item. I don't have the agenda in front of me. I think the next one is
I have item number four.
Oh, yes.
I thought from
your name, sir?
Oh, John Sullivan.
Thank you for joining us.
7075 Via Rubia. I thought at the board meeting that there was going to be conversation about the contract with Barme as to what the board or the security committee.
That's number five on the agenda.
The topics. Oh, I'm sorry.
that's
sorry.
Okay.
Well, let's go to number five, and we'll come back to number four since you're here.
The topics that were going to be discussed as to a meeting with them.
Right. So I alluded to it just a little bit in Kelly's report, but specifically, I have met with the RMA board president, and I'm going to ask on the 17th for a formal approval of the board to enter into a formal process with RMA so that RMA understands exactly what our level of service is, what our capabilities are. We'll know exactly what our staffing level and funding level is. We can start the, and again, RMA, I'm just trying to think it through, they very well might go to an ad hoc committee, it might stay in compliance. I just need to free up either Kelly's time, general manager's time in this process that RMA needs to work through, because as Kelly said, we have 8 full-time and 3 patrol. That's not changing. If anything, it could go down if an employee leaves. So exactly what the items are, that's probably going to fall to RMA. So what I want to be able to do, now that we know Measure R didn't pass, the findings of the grand jury report, what our budget is, now we can have that conversation with RMA and say, here's what we can provide. More importantly, here are all the things we can't provide, and have that formalized process. And then RMA will be able to come back and say, yes, this works, or no, this doesn't, and we go from there.
So I'm not sure what category all the customer buckets are in with RMA. There are the individual residents who are members of RMA, and then there's an RMA overarching agreement that's not the security patrol to the individual residents. This is the non-ARC enforcement, mm-hmm. or whatever else by contract the district agrees with or proposes to amend the agreement
right.
by. But in analyzing the revenue that comes into the CSD for security, you have, and this is just my quick and dirty calculations, okay? RMA members provide about 56% of the revenue to the security budget.
Yeah, that's in the ballpark for my memorization.
About 19% comes from the undeveloped properties mm-hmm. within the gates. And that could be a little low. I may be a little low there, because I don't know exactly what Riverview and Lakeview,
right,
you know,
right.
I don't know exactly the amount. I don't have access to that
right.
number. So that gets me to, you know, around 75%. The rest
right.
of the money comes from the outside the gate, non-residential, commercial, and all the other users
mm-hmm.
outside the gate. So from the perspective of the district's responsibility to provide service or costs to those buckets
mm-hmm.
as the reasonable cost of providing the service, I don't want to have I don't want to say sole source, but I don't want to have a single conversation that theoretically ends all discussions about where CSD security spends its resources and time on the patrol side. The gates are fixed. The 10 gate officers, permanent and temporary,
right.
are fixed.
Right.
So what we're arguing over as far as resources are to the patrol time. That's,
correct.
That's
well, and so I you're right, John, and I think a couple of things. One, As we go into the formalized process with RMA, if they tell us the single most important thing is gate services, a whole lot of discussion stops, right? But if it's not, then there's further discussions to be had. And what does that look like in those types of things? So, so we're very similar onto the same page. The because they're the larger customer, once they understand what we can deliver, they give us their expectation. Now we can then go, okay, we can do it or we can't, and then what does it look like all the way through the community, like you just said?
Not to be a heretic, but I'm going to bring up two things.
Mm-hmm.
All the money collected from the South residences before the development of Riverview and Lakeview basically get close to but don't fully cover the cost of providing the gate service. And you can run the numbers any way you
okay.
want. But I want to bring this out because it seems like nobody wants to talk about the responsibility of the district to provide the numbers for the reasonable cost of providing the service. And
I don't understand that.
It's in your code, right below the cost of providing the service, that the district is responsible for charging the reasonable cost of providing the service.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the end of the day, only 50% of the revenue that the district gets comes from the inside the gate homeowners. The rest of it comes from developer property, commercial property, and the other outside the gate
right.
stuff. So, I'm trying to come to grips with the fact that you know we aren't getting coverage on patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so my only other question, and I don't want to
belabor the issue, because
I think, you know, there's the village, there's the Gardens Community Association, there's the Villas Association, but you kind of have to look at them just like RMA because they're inside
the gate. Yeah, they're inside the compound.
They get charged the exact same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's another entity.
Right.
Then you have Rancho North Association, and you have Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association, which has stayed very silent, very silent until it can get to the point where it knows exactly what all of its other customers would like to have in the way of service.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons we asked Sheriff Cooper to come out, because we wanted him to get familiar with the whole community, and you know he's very knowledgeable.
Oh yeah, known Jim
and
for
I
years.
Think he's, yep. I think he's got a good beat on what's going on, and I'm really happy that he responded the way he did with you know what's going on, and of course you know the question becomes how do we get the biggest bang for the buck and get enforcement such that it actually benefits the long term. Security of the community, the property and the people on the property, right?
I agree.
So I want to make sure that that we dialogue with the other entities before we get to the point of saying, well, this is how we're allocating our time, because you're supposed to allocate your time based on where the money comes from.
Well, that part I'll disagree a little bit from the standpoint how taxes are collected and spent, the collection and then the cost of delivering service, two different things. Best example I can give is the tax revenue collected in the community of Gold River, the amount of sheriff services, first responder services that the community of North Highlands uses,
way outweighs the revenue brought in by the community of North Highlands versus. So I understand conceptually what you're asking, but at the end of the day, where the resources, they don't go where the tax money comes from. That's not how taxes work. You know better than I. But I do understand what you're saying. We're not, as a district, going to commit to the overall process of service allocation just off of, say, an agreement with RMA. We just have to start the process, because I have an agreement with them, figure out what their needs are, and now we then understand that. Now we can go to the other places we touch. Once we understand all of that, then it's back to Kelly, back to the general manager to say, okay, here's what we see. Here's our recommendation to the board. This is where our priorities are moving forward. And then it's going to be that funding level of where it's at and how do we continue it. And some of it might be a recommendation to spend revenues for off-duty sheriffs, right? Certain times. We did that, I think, two fiscal cycles ago. So those are all things that are still possible. I just got to get the formalized process going.
Let's stratify that the comment about other communities and resources. That's really has to do with the sheriffs. We pay taxes to the county.
I understand, John.
And all that.
Right.
And one of the reasons to have the sheriff out here was to start the conversation.
We pay a lot of money for the level of service.
We probably fund four or five sheriff's deputies. So that was a sidebar that we had prior to, during, and after the meeting.
I understand.
But your ordinance says that the
ordinance or the code?
The district's ordinance says that it's the reasonable cost of providing the services how you're supposed to be billed. So I've brought that to the attention of the previous general manager before that, and I know that Michael and I have talked about it. But I'm very sensitive because, you know, at any one point in time, 40% of the budget for security comes out of the entities that I have responsibility mm-hmm. for, and they feel at times that, as the Equestrian Center and others,
right.
that the service hasn't been commensurate with the cost.
Oh, and I understand that 1,000%. So instead of, because you brought it up with prior GMs, and I'm sure you're going to bring it up with the future GM, whenever that happens, I will take it out of the GM's hands, and I will move this question to legal counsel and just be done with it, get legal counsel's opinion on that ordinance. I'm not going to have the GMs try and defend it. It's either defensible or it's not, and then we move on. So I'll move it directly to legal counsel in this case, Mr. Ramos's interpretation.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. I'll work with you on drafting a letter to Mr. Ramos on that.
Oh, yeah. And if you want, Tim, I can just contact him and just ask him a question.
Yeah, and then we can get it on the agenda. Also, then, when you have that...
So you're looking for a legal opinion
on
the definition of reasonable.
Right, and how the service relates to the funding source. When you have the conversation, just let them know we've started the formal process with RMA from that standpoint. Okay, so that was five. And thank you.
Okay, Kelly, four.
Okay, this is just real quick here. We talked a little bit about, we have three patrol officers right now. We're down two to three positions. And even if the board or the general manager said, go ahead, Kelly, you can hire whoever you want, the environment.
Let me assure you, neither the GM nor the board are going to give you that direction.
Right.
But continue on.
Even if you could, the
right.
hiring of personnel, quality personnel in this line of field is very difficult, very
right.
hard. I'm the only one that has staff here 24/7 operation.
Right.
And with that, and span of control and racial patrol supervision is vital. And it's just me for 18 people or 15 people. That's really inadequate supervision. And as we've seen in time and time, I brought examples to this board of disciplinary issues that we've had to address, quality of service we've had to address. It takes time for a supervisor to go and research and body worn camera and to do all that. So the bright spot, we're holding down the fort with the minimal staff, but I have one supervisor who's in an acting position,
mm-hmm.
and he's been here for about a year, and he does very good work, he meets all the qualifications. He's a retired Alameda County Sheriff, I think for 25 years, and I don't want to lose him, and I know all of our employees, unfortunately, there's a human element to this, are looking to leave because they think they're on the chopping block. They don't
right.
understand a lot of what goes on here and the delay after delay, and
right.
they're not wanted, and the passing of Measure R failing, they're all looking to leave. So I look to do that good supervision with them, and but you can only do so much magic, and then you have to like give them a bone, or if you will, or give them a morale boost. And one of the things I think we can do in our power with what we have now, sure, we're not going to be able to get the other resources, but let's keep the ones we have here. And with Mel Outrum being an acting sergeant, I like to make him permanent. Now, I believe, and I could be wrong, that it wasn't ever frozen by the board. I believe the last general manager that was the outgoing sergeant was going through employee discipline issues, and it was frozen at that point. I believe that's all been addressed, those discipline issues.
Correct.
So I think that's why the initial freeze was given to that position. However, now this new sergeant's been here for a year, and the only cost is going to be is he's already getting the full benefits. It's just the, I think they call it the median control point for
right.
pay. That's the only difference that we're going to have. And I believe the general manager or the new general manager can make that happen for us.
Hey, Kelly, just for my own understanding. So you're requesting that Mel be permanently promoted, and then that position that he's moving out of would not be filled, correct?
Correct. We already determined there is no room, but that can hold the fort, if you will, with this. It looks like for the near future, we're going to have this minimum shortage of staff.
Right.
And we're stable. You see some of these kind of complex calls we have. We need to retain our knowledge base of our people, and that is one critical component that we have. Coming in on weekends, actually those phone calls around the clock.
Understand.
I go, that's something I think we have in our power to do now that can give us a boost in this, it prevent from losing people.
Got it. So,
and like I said, I think that the GM has the power because it wasn't a board issue.
Right.
If my memory serves correctly, it was the prior general manager said, tell the...
But we want to put it through committee.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
I
can listen back if you want, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
That's my recollection as well. So the board as a whole has not discussed this item. The board is aware that is going to be my recommendation. Moving forward, now it comes down to what is that control point? How soon can I get that?
Susan, I talked to Susan this morning. She's working on that. She's looking at that.
Okay.
Right now. Right.
So if that could get on the 17th, then that's there. The direction I will give the general manager, would you... he's getting acting sergeant's pay now?
Correct.
Okay. As soon as staff can facilitate that...
I don't know if it's acting sergeant pay. I think it's called out-of-class pay, which
yeah,
is only
it might
percentage.
Be, yeah, and
I think that's technically what it is.
The standard that we use for other... If we ensure that's continuing, then it's really how quickly can staff move? Because that was one of the items I was going to bring up. But go ahead, Mike.
I don't want to be a pain, but...
Okay, you're way too late for that, but continue on.
You want to fill the sergeant position, but leave the gate officer or patrol officer vacant?
No. Oh, sorry.
So you're going to unfreeze that position and hire behind them?
No. No. The intent is
they're full.
That the sergeant's position, and really my concern is just span of control of command. And so we immediately, once we knew, in this case, this employee's knowledge.
I mean, he's a great guy. I like
that. Right. Knowledge, skills, and abilities moved him right to patrol two.
Shut it down a long time ago.
Right. And so then Kelly and I had conversation of, again, KSAs is able to do the sergeants and be able to facilitate. So what's going to end up happening is we will have a sergeant on patrol that obviously supervises gate, splitting the duties with Kelly. There will be no backfill at the patrol officer too. Same number of people, we're just increasing responsibility for one of them.
And then I see you want to hire part-time. You just eliminated the contract with the private company.
Our gates are full. We have 8 full-time gate officers, and we have two part-time, so they're full. The gates are full.
I understand. I've done the calculation. I actually did the scheduling. Your operation runs about 8.4 for the gate operation, about 4.2 for the patrol officers. Not counting, you got 10 holidays. I've done all the calculations based on your webpage, to be honest with you. So, you got, at last meeting, you said you got rid of, you were glad you got rid of the ADA, the Private Security Commission.
Right, we're able to hire full-time on our own.
Same rate or less money?
Well,
you hire
that's two different things, because I understand when we hire our internally, they get benefits. And that rate is different than when you hire ABA, who only you get the cash. So as far as that's, I can't.
Plus training.
Yeah, plus training. I do know that we spent $60,000 last year that wasn't even in our budget on ABA security. So we eliminated that part. That I know we can do. And it was kind of a, we didn't get the bang for the buck, if you will, with training the ABA people. We put 3-4 weeks of training into these individuals. They'd be trained, and they drop like flies. They wouldn't stay. They wouldn't stay. They give no notice, so it wasn't really a good
one. For officer or patrol officer?
For both. So none of them, we just let the last one go. And right now, we have 8 full-time gate officers. They're happy. They've been here. Our longevity, our longest officer in the gate's been here 29 years. Our newest people have been here over a year. We've had no turnover. Now we have 2 part-time people that want full-time. We've never had that in the time me or Tina have been here filling those gates. So we put that extra effort in getting those quality people. So our gates are good right now.
Okay.
It's patrol that's the issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, I had a question for you about Mel.
Mel?
Yeah.
You said Mel? Okay.
So what's he currently, what's his current title? Are you?
He is acting sergeant, I guess is his current title.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be in touch, Mike.
He's getting paid out of class pay a certain percentage.
Okay.
And I know, with someone with his credentials, the other people are looking and offering, and I don't want to lose him. I'd like to make
And I think it was pretty clear from what Tim said, we're going to continue to pay him at that rate until a decision can be.
Until I can get it formalized. And then once it's formalized, like I said, I it could be as soon as if we can get the numbers.
Right, I know Susan's working on that.
And I think that's the purview of the general manager, so I think the new GM would probably put that into place, I believe. We want to get the opinion of the security committee, and I'm not sure if that necessarily needs to go to the board. It could.
Yeah, my preference would be that it goes to the board. Now, it could take effect fiscal year, right, and just keep the, I think you turned it out of class pay.
He's getting out of class pay right now.
Now the question is just how quickly can I get the numbers of just that cost difference?
Mm-hmm.
And then at least have that conversation at the board the 17th. And then we should know if it's a board action or is it a GM action. And then the board could just direct the GM to make it happen.
Right.
And if we go on or about the 17th of May, or we go, hey, it's a July 1 for the fiscal cleanness, then we just stay out of class knowing that that's where it's going to be, those types of things.
Make sure that Mel knows that he's greatly appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
And we're working on it.
Daily, I do that.
And to the point where I just can't ask any more of staff as soon as they can get it done is as soon as I can move on it.
Right.
That was going to be.
And he understands that. It's just it's just so critical with the three we have. And if they're not able to be replaced and to get those quality people there, that's the challenge.
Kelly, I understand.
We're probably about a month out when there won't be 5 million interim positions.
Right.
So I'll put it on the May 17th if Susan has the documentation ready for it. And if not, we'll move it until
to like
she's got
the 7th or whatever. But the answer's a high percentage of yes. I just can't ask a staff in the budgetary process to move it any quicker. But I understand exactly what you're saying. And to kind of follow up with Mr. Martell, he's got some thoughts on numbers, processes that he's looked at for security that I just got to get time with him to understand where his analysis of level of service we provide, where we provide, some of those things. Because again, the budget issue is done. Grand jury spoken. Now it's just what do we do with 8 and 3, right? And what does that look like? And then with finance saying that no more than 50,000 can be allocated, what does that mean for the part-timers? And then where can we fit those in and extra service? And again, that's all part of, I start the formalized process with RMA, start working back through all the other customers, and then it's going to show our demand, right? Time of day, day of week, right. And then can we facilitate those services?
Yeah, and then some of that 50,000 may need to go rebuild reserves for security as well.
Oh, absolutely, especially since a flare is the only thing that's going to work on that building.
I didn't bring this up earlier, but again, you know, going forward with three, we just had the perfect example of why we should always have two on the menu. With that chlorine leak, our Mel was happy to work that weekend, was doing the traffic control, keeping people out of that right. area until we knew for sure that it was safe. Fire department didn't know how to get there, so they had to leave to go there. Had there been two, at least, for those type of emergencies, again, I always have to, for the record, say there should always be two for these basic type of emergencies at all time. That's just a law enforcement to me, but I would always want two for anything.
And I agree. I came from a majority of my time in operations in the fire service, and two is a minimum. So I get that 1,000%. With that said, appropriately, inappropriately, community spoken, right?
Yeah.
But with that, and what was said in prior committee meetings this week, that was a perfect live training exercise.
Correct.
And the only other one that we've had anywhere close to that is when the community member was a knucklehead and sheared off a hydrant. We went through a process as a district that was a great training exercise, just like this one was.
Right.
The only thing missing was sheriffs, and we would have had a unified command. They would have been the scene manager, you know, just all those things, right? But to that end, the points taken off of that are just what you said. And that's what we have to articulate to our constituents, the homeowners association, because again, at the end of the day, for a hazmat, all evacuation for any all-risk incident falls back to the sheriffs. So again, that's that part of what are the sheriffs willing to commit, and those types of things. So, but I will end it with continue to advocate for your department is all I can ask.
Okay.
I just hate to be the person that keeps saying no.
Keep saying please.
I understand. Item 6, director staff comments. Staff comments?
I have nothing.
Okay. Kelly, I have a couple of to-dos for you.
Okay.
Would you start to look at June 17th, Rancho Marietta Country Club? It's their 50th anniversary party. they're anticipating a large crowd. They still have to go through the permitting process for the sheriffs for alcohol, you know, just all those things. But would you start looking at the off-duty sheriff's availability for that? And then I don't know who the contact. Maybe you work back through Michael, back through Randy. I don't know if they had a contact person specifically for that event that when they pull the permits, that'll tell you how many sheriffs you need.
But did you want, and actually that's a good point, because as we go forward with July 4th, I know you're looking at changing it. I know the last GM was not a fan or in favor of having us contact the sheriff's department and paying for them when it wasn't our event. But we did it last year because we've done it before.
Right.
Would that be the case? Would you want
similar,
that?
Yeah, because the country clubs just never gone through this.
You don't want them paying directly. You want us to pay for it.
We can do that.
Or we can train them.
Yeah, and I guess at the end of the day, we'll get there, but June 17th is right around the corner for them. And they don't have the first clue.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that one.
And then come 4th of July is my next one. We just now need to get a meeting set up with staff at multiple levels, with RMA at multiple levels, and then...
Well, Tina knows how to do that. She taught me, right?
And so
that'd be easy, that one.
Right. So we just kind of have to have that process in place, and then this will be one of those that I'll say it's in the GM's purview, that if we know the 17th is going to be an impact day, potentially overtime for us to staff up at the North Gate and potentially patrol services. We'll know more, but that's kind of where I'm thinking. Obviously, 4th of July, if we can get some overtime, especially for the North Gate patrol services,
we
can work that back through RMA.
I think last year we doubled the gates during the showtime, and we had three or four security working. There was no sheriffs that volunteered for it last year.
Right. And that's where I think RMCC has just never gone through the process. So we can assist them on this one. And then for 4th of July, because you're right, I think it was just RMA contracted, and I forgot who they contracted services with.
Oh, gee, what's the name of that company?
So is it the country club that's doing 17th?
The 17th, yes.
So maybe, you know, Kelly, when we go through that process, we can invite the country club to come kind of follow us through this process.
Like, I mean, the process is just an email to the coordinator.
Or CC, and they put it out, so. Maybe CC the general manager, whomever, so they can see how that process goes.
He just
goes.
Needs to tell us how many he wants.
Yeah, and then, and then they can eventually take that over and know how to do it.
Yeah, and then they bill us, and then they reimburse us.
Yeah, right. So we can help them, they can mirror that process with this.
In fact, they kind of already know how to do it when they paid for the gate out here, that their employee, remember the hit and run? I took the bill to them, and they paid their POs directly.
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah, that's what I envisioned. They just, again, have no clue.
Yeah.
They still have to go through the permitting process for that crowd.
We'll help them with that.
We'll do that.
Thank you. And then, it's just the standard, whatever the incident action plan is going to be for the 4th, we just got to reach out. Obviously, their new GM is intimately familiar.
Oh, Tina did the action plan last time for them, and we just kind of mirrored it. We doubled the guards and had extra patrol. You're right, but no sheriffs volunteered last time.
Right.
So maybe this time they'll... they pay for them. RMA does, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think it... I don't know the atmosphere...
And their pay's gone up this time, so maybe they'll get more interest.
Yeah, I just don't know the atmosphere for the off-duty patrol services now.
Almost $100 an hour. That whets it a little bit, their appetite.
Yeah. Okay. And then the only other is, again, thank you. Please keep advocating. I cannot reiterate the way you... redacted information and explained the issue out in the commercial property.
Oh, thank you.
Was wholeheartedly done, and the notification that you did internally was was, I think, what we need to continue internally. So
thank you.
I have 10:54, Amelia. Thank you.
Thank you. We are adjourned.